The Miami Dolphins got a victory on Sunday. Another ugly one, but victories are what it matters. What did I just say? What it matters. That's what happens when we do cold openings and I have to think of something off the top of my head. It's just nonsense shoots out of my mouth. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Dolphin Collective. Let's real quick shout out the sponsors. SeatGeek. Check them out. Use the promo code FINS10. You get 10% off tickets on SeatGeek. Go check them out. If you're in the New Jersey area and you're doing the MetLife takeover, which happens every time we come up here, use that promo code, grab some ticks, yell at the opposing team. This is a big game. Big game. And then we also have Sleeper. Go check them out. Use the promo code HMA. On Friday, you will see the over-unders on certain players. We will talk about all that. Get 100% up to $100. And as you see in the bottom corner, we are available on Spotify, on Apple, all the podcasts as well. You can join and become a member. Use our faces, you know, in there. You could be the name at the end. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. So real quick, before we jump into all this stuff, give you guys a little schedule updating because, you know, we've been moving the show around like crazy. The reason we are 6 o'clock today, we'll be 6 o'clock Friday and 6 o'clock Tuesday next week. My wife is due on the 12th. So I'm helping her out. So her 9-month butt doesn't have to put the 5-year-old to bed. And I will not be here next Friday because that's when my son will be joining us on this earth. So nice. The boys will hold it down. But just to give you guys an idea of like, why are you guys 6 all of a sudden?
We'll try. It won't be the same without you. It won't be the same without you, Doug, because we'll be one less person.
Yeah, I'll just get tag teamed for a whole 60 minutes.
I'll be jumping you, Omar.
Be sure to hit the like button on your way in. 219 in here. We're very close to 10K. So we got some things to talk about. The Miami Dolphins did win on Sunday. It was scary at some point. I will say on my live stream, at no point was I nervous because I felt the way the Saints were moving, I was like, I'm going to mess it up somehow. Why QB sneak on 4th-and-1 with 20 seconds left? Exactly. That's where I'm like, I'm not worried about them. Tua played bad. Bad. Like,
Mar, are you going to take that seriously?
I wrote a whole column about
it. It was bad. That was a very what? That was very, very, very gentle. Let's put it that way.
It was bad. It was Tyler Shuck outperformed him, in my opinion. And I think Tyler Shuck, I think the Saints should put like a vest a little bit into him because of the way he was maneuvering things and some of his throws. I like the way Tyler Shuck played against Miami. But let's start it off, right? Tua, his mobility. Now, I know people in the comment section will say, never had mobility. He never was able to run. Yeah. He was mobile.
I love the voice.
He was mobile. Now, was he Lamar Jackson? Was he Josh Allen? Was he any? No. But if you go back and watch, even in, you know, 2021, 2020, he was mobile. You know, he had rushing touchdowns.
23 wasn't. Not 23. Patriots. Sorry.
2024, he scrambled for a first down against the Bills and got rocked.
Yeah,
he was running.
2023 was heavier Tua, who was doing what he needed to do to play a full season, if you recall.
Yes.
All right, Doug. We don't mean to derail you, but and by the way, why are we limiting this to a discussion pertaining to the game against the Saints to lack of mobility as opposed to?
I was lack of performance. I was going to keep going.
Okay, sorry, Omar.
You judgy bastards. I gotta get merch made with that. We gotta get some Dolphin Collective merch made. We got a lot. That's booty cheeks. We got your hat. Like we got Coco Beware. We got a lot. So you know his mobility and all that stuff comes into question. And obviously we've been talking about this for a hot minute with his hip. And you know you saw some of the passes Sunday. He floated a lot of them. right? Like, you know, there was the one to Cedric Wilson. And when I watched the film, I was thinking to myself, was he expecting Cedric Wilson maybe cut upfield instead of going to the sideline? You know, the Waller at the back of the end zone, he definitely didn't need to put that much air under it. The Waller up the sideline, who was butt naked open, didn't need to put, like, he was off, and his throws again were off. And, you know, I watched some of them. Like, it's not his mechanics. Do you know when he, like, he did the arm punch, you saw him like really cock his whole body back and like throw it deep on those deep passes? It was more him just like, let me try something. What do you guys think of Tua in a nutshell? What has happened to him from 2023 to now? Why all of a sudden are his throws floating more? Why is he not able to step up, at least in the pocket? Because again, he wasn't mobile in the aspect of I'm going to run for 30 yards, but he was enough that he knew how to evade pressure in the pocket. I'll start with Omar. What, in your opinion? I can go down to TD.
Just start with Omar. All right.
Why do you think he's so different from 2023 till now?
I've watched him very extensively, even warming up, even practicing. I think he can still throw the ball probably the same distance. The hip torque is just not there. And that's what allows you to put a little bit of heat on it. At this point, and I'm gonna flat out ask him Wednesday to address this, because he's touched on it in a number of ways, but he does not look like the same quarterback that he's looked for the majority of his career. Right now, we're talking about a quarterback with an 85.9 pass rating. That is 28th in the NFL. Guys behind him, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, Tyler Shough, Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward, and J.J. McCarthy. That is not company that you want to keep. It is not. Yes, sir?
Hold on. Not that I'm a huge Bo Nix fan, but check out the fourth quarter performance of that dude, and it's completely scary. So this is one of those where, again, you know me and passer rating, throw that crap out, because he's not a great quarterback, but the dude has come through for that team
time and time again
in the fourth quarter.
I'm sure Bo Nix's fourth quarter passer rating is 100, but that's not the topic we're discussing. Okay. Right now he leads the NFL in interceptions, 14 with Geno Smith. He's pretty much led it all season, or tied with Geno Smith all season. That is not Tua's game. Now, company he's supposed to be keeping: Jordan Love, 104.3 pass rating. Jalen Hurts, 103.9 passer rating. Hell, Sam Darnold, who the Jets gave up on multiple years ago, 103.1 passer rating. Justin Herbert,
the guy that somebody loved,
95.4 passer rating. Old man Aaron Rodgers, 95.4 passer rating. Jacoby Brissett, who we absolutely know Tua is better than, has a 97.4 passer rating. Something is wrong. It's not the absence of Tyreek. It's not the offensive line anymore. You cannot excuse it on that. He cannot avoid a sack.
It's beyond that, though, and this is why the tag with the mobility. It's beyond that. The throws, and they were catchable balls, but the third down throw to Julian Hill when he rolls out tells me a couple of years ago he doesn't put that in front as opposed to behind. The inside screen to Devon Achane inside the 10-yard line. Tell me that's a ball that shouldn't be put out front, that prime Tua would have put out front. The accuracy is dropping, and again, as limited as he is outside of anything related to getting the ball out quickly and being accurate, he cannot afford to be anything other than, I mean, totally sharp with the accuracy and the timing. And he is not even remotely close to that, which makes him a very mediocre quarterback. And passer rating, I don't care about the passer rating, because all you hear about everybody, Jalen Hurts is a major problem for the Eagles. So I don't care what his passer rating is. Bo Nix, I've already discussed. I don't care what his passer rating is, because he delivers in the clutch. So passer rating, smasher ratings, whatever. Even Omar, I was giving you crap when you kept talking about, well, he's got a 105 passer rating and all that. And I was like, stop fixating on that. And you're fixating on it again now. The eyes tell us.
What am I supposed to fixate on? What statistic analytic am I supposed to fixate on?
Forget stats. What are your eyes telling you? He looks like crap right now.
I'm not playing the eye test because half people can't evaluate football. So I'm not sitting here playing the eye test.
Speak for yourself, my man.
I'm not talking about you, but we're not.
This is where we've seen it before. We know what it's supposed to look like. We've seen what it's supposed to look like from Tua. Does it look anywhere remotely like it has looked or it should look for Tua?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I don't need any stats to tell me that, even though there are a lot of stats that back up the fact that he's not playing well. Right now, he's a problem, even though he's still the best quarterback on the roster, because God forbid the Dolphins bring in a competent number two.
TD, what's your thoughts on this transition?
Nothing has changed. Y'all are just finally seeing it.
That's not true.
Okay. It's my turn, though. Listen, Tua Tagovailoa is showing traits that he has always shown. Okay? Now, he may be doing it a little more right now, but he has always shown these traits. One problem that a lot of people don't really pay attention to sometimes. Take the Julian Hill play where he clearly threw it. Terrible ball placement.
Yeah.
But the ball is actually catchable. You're just making it extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. So had Julian Hill caught that in that critical moment and we got the first down, we would have never said anything about the ball placement. This is what's happened over the years, too. I used to always watch his film and coaches say, hey, that's a completion, but terrible ball placement. You got to put that in front. These are things that have always been there. You don't have Tyree grabbing those difficult ones like that anymore. You got a guy like Julian Hill, and this is where the team does the carrying sometimes. We need the team to make those plays for him. And we've made them, believe it or not. Tyreek and some guys, they have made those plays for him over the years. So we never thought it was an issue. But his ball placement has never been, his completion percentage is high. This accuracy notion is not what you think. I mean, he's accurate putting it in the spot. But his accuracy isn't always what you think. You want to judge a quarterback on their accuracy? Do it when the play break down. How accurate are you when the play break down? Don't do it in structure, because timing can look like you're the sharpest thing alive. It can look like it. But judge it when the play breaks down, because now you really have to anticipate. You have to calculate in your mind, because this ain't a part of the play. This play broke down. The receiver's doing something different now. We want to connect. Or it's extending a little longer. Where should I put the ball to where they'll meet him? Tua's always had those issues with accuracy in those situations. Yeah, he may throw a floater sometimes on a comeback on the run. But I'm talking about just the simple tight end going across the middle. There's film out here of him throwing it in the dirt in those situations in the past. We've seen it. There is film of Tua on plays just like that, actually throwing it in the dirt to tight ends. Don't worry. Since you said that, all I got to do is go on Twitter and list like two people, and you're going to have probably five videos of at least 5 or 10 times of it. You'll see it. It'll be out.
That happens with every quarterback.
And that's not Tua throwing to a spot where his receiver's supposed to be, and he got rerouted.
That too, but it's still coming to that spot. It's still going to come to the spot. That's why even sometimes when he overthrows or sails it, sometimes technically he threw a perfect ball, but the receiver wasn't there at the time that normally the connection, you know, the chemistry they have is. So with timing. So I'm not seeing as much difference in Tua now. The mobility piece of it, I get what y'all are saying. There is a difference. He's moving different. There's this like bolt in him that just, hey, slow down. We're not moving at that pace anymore, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's move at it's still okay pace, but you got to work in this confines. That's what I see from him, from his mobility. And you know what? He needed every bit of mobility he had, period. Yeah, even when he was playing well, he needed every inch of that. Now that it's regressed, oh, he couldn't afford that. Mm-hmm. Tua could not afford any regression of it. And now that body is catching up to him, in my opinion. I don't know. Omar's going to ask more detailed questions. But I just think that it's a little bit more of the same Tua. Like, we talk about Hail Marys. Was that a Hail Mary too? Was that a design Hail Mary on first down?
No,
that was a horrible throw.
Daniel called him out on it.
Yeah. So that's not the Hail Mary situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it goes to what I used to tell y'all with the deep ball anyway. He just be putting it up. Now, watch this. If the corner had got beat by Waddle and the safety didn't get there in time, Waddle would have caught it. It would have been a touchdown. But we would have been like, oh, Tua's cooking. I'm sitting here watching film of this man score touchdowns, but he does not look before he throw the ball on those deep passes. He doesn't.
The velocity is not the same either, right? And I don't think you can deny that. It's not the same,
but you're still not reading. You don't take a split second to say he's beating him. Let's take the shot. He doesn't do that. It's going to come no matter what. He make up in his mind pre-snap, I'm taking this shot. Let me pull the safety.
If he gets the right look.
He doesn't. If he
gets the right look.
He didn't get the right look because they have two guys back there, and it was basically
the center fielder catching the ball. You think if he gets the right look, he throwing the ball. It's coming, Omar. It's coming out regardless, and this is what y'all got to understand. Though a lot of those touchdowns, y'all like, oh, we're cooking. Man, these are dangerous situations. This is why I always say the Dolphins don't typically dictate their wins. The defenses they play on offense dictate their success. Because if they screw up just basic stuff, we take advantage of it. Because we blindly throw the ball a lot. We actually blindly throw the ball in Miami. That's the spot throwing. I trust my guy to be there. If 100% of your offense is trusting, then we got a problem. That's guessing. It's guessing too many times.
It's not 100.
It's not 100.
Tua's a spot thrower.
It's predetermined, though. It's half of the offense is predetermined.
It's determined based on what the defense shows them pre and post snap. He doesn't deny that.
Post snap, that's where me and you differ, Omar. It does not determine. He isn't reading post snap. He is not reading post snap as far as going through all reads.
I'm sorry. You don't become one of the most accurate quarterbacks of his generation, of his peers, without having some sort of mastery of reading defenses.
Short passes.
Huh?
Without having some mastery of short passes. Sorry.
So Ryan Tannehill has a mastery of reading defense now.
What?
Please. I'm saying, he's saying you don't pick up with the passer rating.
I'll talk about accuracy. Anyway, right. Listen,
whatever
you say about Tua, I cannot argue at this point.
The ball has always been going to come anyway. You got people in college at LSU. Oh, we knew the ball was going to come anyway. Go look at his ranked games. He played 7 ranked games in college. This is my pre-draft evaluation. 7. I ain't care about no Alabama State where you beat them 70-0. I looked at the 7 ranked games, and you got players post-game on the other team. One thing we know about Tua, whether it's open or not, it's coming. It's going to come regardless. That's why when players said it in the NFL, oh, they're just hating, or we made some kind of reason. You got live players. You can't argue with the ones that are actually on the field. This is what they believe. And they believe it for a reason, because coaches are coaching to that mess. The ball is going to come. Lucky us. We know the windows in a basic cover 2 defense. We know the windows to slide it through. And as long as Tyreek coming by to pick it up, we heading down the field and it all looked beautiful. We were an elite timing team. That's why we look so great. We were elite with timing. Not this anticipation y'all think, or this superior accuracy. Tua became a master at putting it in a spot. And we just didn't pay attention to that because it's dangerous. And you know what? Kirk Cousins said it recently. He said, yeah, I recognize that's what he is, but you're going to win that more than you lose it. playing like that, you're going to win more than you lose. And that's why we were surviving. That's why we were doing so well. But when you don't win those battles, we pay dearly with those turnovers.
So you think there's no different? There's no difference from 2023 to 2024.
Outside of a slight adjustment with his hip. And yeah, I'm telling you, he's still got a great game in him where he's going to come out there. He might light it up. He might light it up. That's not gone. There's going to be teams we play that don't play to those strengths of ours, and he going to light them up.
I don't even see him.
I give him one or two games, lighten it up at the end, tell him so people can say, well, maybe, you know.
No. I honestly think if he was going to do it, I think this past Sunday was the game for him to light it up, and he just –
that was just a bad game, but
yeah, but it was like Washington was also not a great game.
He's not on the injury report now. Players can mask and not. Tyreek was hurt for the last 3 years. Tyreek never went to the training room. He had his issues addressed on his own, so he never showed up on the. He rarely ever showed up on the injury report. There's no way, because I even looked at his arm after he came back from the bye, and still the same arm. Not to say it's bad, not to say it's good, it's just the same arm. And
you can say it's bad. You'll feel better.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's adequate.
It's bottom third in the NFL.
It's adequate. Barely. But now when you have the no movement skills, like this offense is built on play action and roll out, and that adds to the element of it, the play fakes. Tua cannot move. Mm-hmm. He's not fat. You know what it looks like? It looks like he's aged 5 years in one season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea why. I don't know where it came from. And, you know, yes, it's looking bad now because they're not executing in the red zone. And I think a lot of that is footwork. A lot of that is chemistry with this weaponry, because I watched them practice the red zone stuff Friday, and that same pass to Darren Waller, they practiced it and didn't make it then. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, it's going to take him a minute to develop some chemistry with Waller. He's still in the process of that. And this is not an excuse, because I've said something is wrong, but y'all act like this man got an arsenal of weapons to go to. Finally, there's a run game. Finally, the offensive line is protecting him now that there's six offensive linemen on the field. But what has he got? Three weapons now? Well, finally?
Omar, I was actually going to, right after you, I was going to make that point. This is also now, but a little different than what you're saying. I know how you're trying to frame this. Make excuses for him, but
I don't want to make excuses. No,
this offense, this is what it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, without Tyreek for an extended amount of time, too. That impact is massive. This what Tyreek does to a defense and how they game plan.
Oh, yeah.
Is totally different. Things become a little bit easier. Now, the offense was still struggling even when Tyreek was here earlier, but not on the level from a passing standpoint this bad. Now, that's the one part of it. Number two, outside of Tyreek Hill, we don't have anybody that's going to be out here getting massive separation or making life that much easier. But at the same token, this is why you got to realize the impact that the team around him is a greater impact that he needs. He's not going to do any carrying once again, and he's missing his own opportunities regardless of the lack of receiving core. Julian Hill was right there. He's not the best of receivers, but if you made a better play, he might have made a better play. See, that's the stuff that matters. What can Tua control? Forget all the what he don't have. What is he doing on the field that regardless of what he has, he can fix? And that's where his problem is. He's not showing that.
Yeah.
They are 25th in total yards per game offensively and 24th in scoring points per game offensively. If I told you that a Mike McDaniel offense would be ranked 24th and 25th amongst the league, what would you say?
if Tua's playing the way he's playing right now, that figures, yes.
I would say maybe it's a Tyreek Hill offense.
Oof.
Maybe it wasn't Tyreek.
Can we not pretend that they have that? Can we not say like they have nothing either? Come on. I mean, Devon Achane is like a top end running back. Jalen Waddle is a top end deep threat. Darren Waller, now that he's back, is a very, very good receiving tight end. So come on. Seriously. Tell me the weapons Drake May has in New England. And he's making
Alan, here's a mistake that McDaniel's making that nobody's said anything about. I haven't heard anybody say it. They're not using Achane in the pass game like they should.
They're probably trying to save him.
They're not utilizing him at all in the pass game.
But you're you don't want to drive the guy to the ground. Seriously. But it's
all you have. Drake May's using everybody in every aspect. That's what I mean. It's all
don't have small running receptions.
But that's
well, go back. What did you see? How many receptions he had in this game?
None.
One target, and that was that underneath that was dropped. One target. If I'm not mistaken,
defenses take things away from teams, and they took Waddle away from them. Tua had to spread it around. Listen, he completed 12 passes. That's not Tua's game. Like, okay, the four sacks, you could say that's Tua's game. The interception, it comes every once in a while. Usually comes in bunches. But like, there's nothing that resembles Tua's actual game. Tua's usually efficient in the red zone. He's efficient on third downs. He takes care of the football. He throws accurate passes. None of that's there anymore.
Tyreek isn't there.
It wasn't Tyreek. It was because he was doing it some earlier in the season.
He was doing it in 2020. He was doing it in 2021.
Correct. Yeah. He needs more so than other quarterbacks, he needs a bushload of high-end playmakers around them.
In 2020?
How did he do in 2020? And what was the cry from his supporters? He's got nobody around him. The offensive line sucks. 2021. No offensive line. And then 2022, all of a sudden, he's got Tyreek Raheem Mostert.
And everything is going. And I'm just a big believer in correlations. When did everything spike? What were all the factors at that time? Not just Tua made this big jump.
We're deferring from the conversation. The conversation started over here, and now we're all the way over here. Now we're talking about weapons, and we're not talking about, like, when it comes to 2023, no one on this panel is going to sit here and say it's because of Tua that we were 11-3 after we beat the Cowboys. No one will sit here and tell you that. You know, I don't think anyone up on this panel at one point said Tua is a top 10 quarterback or elite. I could be wrong. You know,
I never said Tua was a top 10 quarterback.
Oh, wow.
When did I say Tua was a top 10 quarterback? I've done rankings every year, and he's like,
Folks, in the comments, please dig up Omar's work.
He's always been. I could show you. I have them because I keep them, and literally,
he didn't say Tua was a top 10 quarterback. He's careful with his words. He said Tua was playing like a top 10 quarterback,
and it was always like Tua led the NFL in passing yards. Tua led the NFL in passer rating. It was always coming back to that.
You see this?
Go ahead.
My QB rankings from 2024 to his 14th.
What time of the year was that done?
Before the season.
This was after the 2023 season. You're a hater.
You're a judgy bastard.
But no, for real, because the people in the comment section could be like, no, that's not true. You could go back and look, because they're going to say me and Omar are lying. You can go back and look at everything me and Omar have done. Not once have I ever called to an elite, nor have I ever said he's top 10. Same thing. Well,
okay.
You could go by Omar's words. So the point is, and this whole point of this conversation is, you know, we're trying to figure out what happened from 2023, where, you know, he benefited from all this stuff. He was making the throws. Correct. He didn't end up number three going into the Ravens game in the MVP race because of, you know, favoritism. Other circumstances. Obviously, they were looking at his play as well. He sucks. Now he sucks. Like, it is what it is. 2024, he fell off. I was one of the many who came on and said, and again, you can go and look at the videos, do not pay that man that contract because we need to see more than 1 year. Let him play on that fifth year. And he's now in an aspect where he's just not good.
Well, and they paid him before 2024. So we didn't know that. There's two issues. There's been regression from Tua, and the talent around him is not as good as it was in 2023. We can all agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
He's had 4 games of over 100 passer rating, and he's had 4 games below 56 passer rating. This is unreal. This is just truly unreal. Yeah. It's
sporadic.
It's mind-numbing.
It's very inconsistent. He's on a stretch now with 4 games under 100.
So is he playing worse than his rookie year?
Say what?
Is he playing worse than his rookie year?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I might go as far as to say this right now. This is about as bad as he's ever played.
100%. Yeah, because
I see this all the time.
Yes, he is exactly is playing worse than his rookie year.
He was way more mobile his rookie year. Go watch the Cardinals game. Go again, the Patriots game where he was running in touchdowns from the 5-yard line. He was way more mobile. And now, you know, as the years are going on, maybe the more hits he's taking in the pocket, maybe all this stuff, you know, is starting to build up. He's just, it's his throws. You know, I remember watching Kurt Warner film breakdown. I don't know if it was 2023 or 2022, talking about his like foot placement and the way he would like throw it, and it was just off. Everything was off, yeah. off. And
yeah, Tua says his mechanics are off, his footwork is off.
Is and that because
he now, says he's also not the athlete he once was? He's been very candid about what's been going on. The question is, how do you fix it?
To me, honestly, you can't. I think what is wrong with him and what the problem is with him, I don't think you can fix it. I don't think there's like, oh, let's work on this or let's work on that.
We can fix everything. Well, we can fix everything.
Then bring Noah Igbinoghami back. bring back, who's the biggest bust? What's his name?
We're talking about skill-wise. Nah, I can't fix a bad play or make him good.
All right, bring Jakeem Grant back. All right,
he can't catch.
He can fix everything, man. Listen,
most things can be fixed.
Most they could.
Well, anyway, so I don't think we came to a conclusion, but I think we all have our own little ideas of where that regression is coming from. Some don't think there is a regression. Oh, you, TD, you think there's a regression, but you just think that the things you've seen are happening more. Right? Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah. There's a regression because I seen the same Tua for 5 years. Like 85% of the time we played a playoff team. I seen the same Tua. So these same characteristics. So now it's happening against bad teams. So I guess I do see a regression.
And it's funny because
this has been alive for a while when the competition get real.
Before we went live, me and TD were talking. And I said, normally when you watch to his game, like pre-2023, he would be like, he would make these accurate throws and, you know, he would be on for like a good, like 75-80% of the game. And he got that 20% of the game where you're like, what are you throwing and airing the ball and stuff. I said, now it's completely 180 where it's like 80% of the time he is just sailing the ball. And then you'll have that play like the 24 yard pass to Greg Dulcich where he steps up, he evaded the pressure, he threw the ball down the field. Those are now few and far between, and all the bad plays are more consistent, whereas back then it was the other way around. And now again, it's for me, my thing with Tua has always been, and you could go watch my expectation videos on Tua, I need to see more consistency out of him. And I need him to stay healthy. And unfortunately, for his entire NFL career, he has not been able, well, one time he stayed healthy, but he hasn't been consistent. Even in 2023, at the end of 2023, he wasn't consistent. He was just going in the Ravens game. We need to beat the Ravens to get the number one seed. We need to, you know, where you're up there in the MVP race, throwing interceptions, and he's just not consistent. And that was always my biggest knock on
him. Just him struggling against the Ravens.
It took you saw what I was doing, right, TD? It took long.
He didn't even know.
I'm just scam struggling against the Ravens. I'm just saying.
Except probably the biggest play of that game, if you recall, was a pick by Roquan Smith late in the second quarter. And that bad boy was on Tua. I'm sorry. But no, he wasn't the only one who had issues. But that was the biggest play of the game.
I think everybody got smacked in the mouth.
Tyreek's drop killed them in that game. Like, that was a momentum killer. We were tit for tat. They scored, we scored, they scored, and then we marched down the field, and Tyreek just drops a wide open touchdown. Anyway, we're venturing off. We still have to talk about
enough to already. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't want to get yelled at anymore.
We'll have another year. We'll have another whole year to talk about it.
Do we? That's another thing me and TD were talking about. And then Alan jumped in. He was like, shut up. No. Quit the talk. Yeah, he was actually more derogatory. He called us names that I can't repeat. Miami's defense, have they turned the corner?
What corner are we talking about?
From Suckville to actually decent.
They're decent.
Here's my thing, though. Look at the offenses you're facing.
They smacked down Buffalo pretty good, although
it's a division.
It was turnover. Well, yeah, I mean, they still did it.
Didn't the Saints beat the Panthers, or they beat somebody?
They beat the Panthers. Was it the Panthers they beat?
They beat somebody. Somebody that they weren't supposed to.
Baltimore, Buffalo. Baltimore.
Atlanta was a good game. But again, Atlanta, look at how they're playing.
It's the opponent. I mean, they've consistently stopped the run.
Yeah. I would say their biggest win of the season is Buffalo. That one, and I was, you know, the worst after that game because that was our Super Bowl. It's like, we didn't just beat them. You know, they barely beat us in Buffalo. We beat the crap out of them. So that's a game where the defense and, you know, again, you saw Josh Allen on the sideline looking like he was about to throw up. We did our job, but it's like, you look at these last two games. Can you really gauge it off of playing the Saints and Washington without Jaden Daniels?
And without the Saints opening day starter, Spencer Rattler. Let's not forget that. I'm kidding.
And without... Without their scat back, I can't remember his name.
Alvin Kamara. And they played Washington without not only Jaden Daniels, but without Terry McLaurin.
Yep. So.
Wow. So we're saying the defense has not arrived yet.
We're saying not arrive. It's playing definitely better than it did earlier in the season. And what they're doing, 7 takeaways in the last 3 games after 7 takeaways in the first 9.
I want to jump to TD because he said something very interesting before we came live about Zeke Biggers and Jordan Phillips.
Oh,
because he noticed something. Go ahead, TD.
Yeah. Well, first off, have they turned the corner? I'm going to say not for another 3 weeks. We actually, in my opinion, won't know officially for another 3 weeks. Week 16, Joe Burrow in that weaponry. Show up then, and then I'll believe you turned the corner because I do believe in the competition level, especially when you're playing young quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks and you can really get at them. And Weaver, he's always done that. Even when we play bad against the run, he still can get at those young quarterbacks. So I'll know when we play the Bengals in week 16. If they keep up this level of play and stamp it in that game, then yeah, we're building on something. But one thing that Doug is alluding to, a big reason why, in my opinion at least, that they have been playing a lot better, those guys up front in those trenches in the middle. And I'm not talking about Kenneth Grant. I saw a little bit of flash from him, but I don't know about this week. But Biggers and Phillips, which, you know what, Phillips, I'm going to catch you some slack. I'm going to give you some props because – you was the Shador pick now.
I was going to say. I was
going to be watching you. So, hey, you're doing your thing. He's doing his thing, and you notice it on film. These guys are actually having some disruptibility that Christian Wilkins didn't even have early on, in my opinion. Again, disruptibility
Love that word. Okay. Awesome. Love that word.
Gonna get merch.
Finishes out, baby. Ability. But no, because they make me feel good, because when you see young guys like that this time of year, season's almost over, you're on the back stretch playing like that, it's like, hey, do we got two guys that automatic that we can pin in for the future to potentially be the starters, like not controversial starters of rotation, but be the guys to replace however you pronounce it, Sealer, yeah. At least I prefaced it. But yeah, to replace him and hold it down, we might have two young studs to hold it down for the future, building blocks. And they have upside, so that's all I'll say.
Yeah, and to piggyback off your point, it's at this time of the year where college football starts to, you know, go down. This is where the rookies start to gas out. Yeah, because they only play for a certain amount of time, and seeing these guys start to elevate, I think that also has a big factor to do that they weren't seeing a lot of playing time in the beginning of the season. We were seeing more of the vets out there.
Which was neglect, but no, never
mind. Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Talk more about Biggers.
We love them some Biggers.
Oh, he loves them some Biggers.
Jalen Waddle. He went from being a top 10 in receiving yards to, I think he's like down to like 17th, if I'm correct on that one. He has like a 700 and something receiving yards. He got 5 games left, so he can break 1,000 if he's targeted more. Do you guys think Jalen Waddle will get to 1,000?
Right now he's on pace for 1,080 yards if he continues to average 63.5 a game. The problem is when teams take him away, like New Orleans did so efficiently, Tua has to go elsewhere. And unfortunately, there is no elsewhere to make you kind of take away that double coverage or try to play the Dolphins, honestly. To me, I think this comes down to, you know, the fact that you do not have another weapon on the opposite side. And I know Cedric Wilson's getting more run. He's probably developing a little bit more chemistry with Tua. But just imagine where you're coming from and how bad this offense has been from a skill level standpoint, to the point where you're basically banking on Cedric Wilson, Greg Dulcich, and Daniel Brunskill to jumpstart the offense. Like that's how poorly constructed your roster is.
Let me ask you a question, coming from like a player standpoint. When these guys get double covered and essentially get taken out of the game, does it piss them off, or do they kind of see it as, hey, I'm the best, they're trying to take me out of the game?
It depends on the player. Waddle, I couldn't find anything that would piss Waddle off. he's everything's funny to him, and he's, you know, He's so egoless and non-diva that, you know, he's fine, but he does want to get to 1,000. I mean, it's important to him. It's legacy. It's about cementing himself as one of the top upper echelon wide receivers in the game, showing that he can handle it without Tyreek Hill. But, you know, to me, I don't know. I wouldn't do anything other than double Jalen Waddle. I mean, if you're going to play the Miami Dolphins, double Jalen Waddle and let everybody else beat you. I mean, Darren Waller isn't even an every down player. Okay, when he comes on the field, give him a little bit of extra attention. But, like, do you have to defend anybody else on his team?
Not really.
Well, I have to put somebody around him. Otherwise, if my 16-year-old son could go out there and run 20 yards and be in the open field, and chances are he'd catch
him. Yeah, I just need one game check.
Waller, by the way, is going to play more and more. He played like 28 snaps against the Saints. That was his first game back. Logically, he's going to play more. Logically, he's going to get more than 3 targets. And he got only 1 target in the second half. That was that one in the end zone that floated. Dolphins may need to make use of him. I think Malik, even though they don't use him that way, I think has some route running ability down the field, even though he's not a speed guy.
Do you think Waddle will get to 1,000, Alan?
I don't like the fact they're playing 3 of their final 5 games in potentially cold weather situations. And not only cold weather, also could be windy, which doesn't help the passing game. Jets, Pittsburgh, and New England. They do play Cincinnati, which is not a good defense. That could help. Tampa Bay, I don't even know how good their defense is. I know Tampa Bay is usually really, really good against the run. I don't know if it's the same thing this year. I think it's going to be really, really close. I would probably say, let's go. He barely squeaks by and gets 1,004.
I think Mike's going to make sure he gets it. But I also want to point out, Mike praised himself for not overutilizing Darren Waller. That's honesty right there.
Oh God, we'll get to that because that's the next question. TD, do you think Waddle gets to 1,000?
He'll hit 1,000 based off of the way this team's operating now. I can guarantee him 40 yards a game. And that's 200 right there, and he just need another 40. Tua's going to every week throw up one of those prayers, and we're gonna, out of five of them, we're gonna get two at least. So yeah, he gonna hit it, and it's gonna be him. He's the only one that's gonna go down to catch it, so it'll be him.
So can Dolphins hot streak save Mike McDaniel? And I talked about this one. Did I talk about this Monday, which of last week? They're winning. They're putting together wins, you know, and I think every week I asked Alan this about, hey, is this win, is this changing anything? And, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, to me, you could see this coming. Now, the wins are ugly, but they're wins and they're showing resiliency, right? If they showed that resiliency against the Panthers, the Chargers, and the Patriots, they might have won those three games, and all of a sudden you just look at it differently, even though.
Doug, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's not resiliency. That's not why they lost against those teams. The resiliency comes in the fact that they have not given up despite the fact they were 1-6 and 2-7. Now they're making plays, and they're also catching breaks, i.e. Chris Olave letting the ball slip through his hands.
That was game for the Saints.
Correct. Well, they're catching those breaks now that they weren't catching early on. They're not playing any harder than they were early in the season. So that's why I
could see that. But also, like, they're, like you said, they're also making the plays that they need to, because if Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't have that pick too, then the Saints just kick a field goal on the Dolphins 38 and they win the game. Good.
We're on the last question, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Omar looked like he was dying to say something.
No. I think that they are playing differently. They're gaining chemistry. They're gaining confidence. There's more camaraderie. The defense is playing more unified football. Offensively, they're pummeling teams from the run game standpoint. Achan's always been this player. He's just never had the blocking. Would it be nice if the quarterback actually got his game in gear? Yes, it would. But, you know, we are where we are.
I don't think McDaniel is impacting his change much at all. I'm seeing a defense play better, and that's Weaver's group, in my opinion. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but I assume that actually, that's Weaver's group. He got those boys flying and playing hard and going after it. And again, I could be wrong on that. They haven't
quit, which is the one thing that you gotta give them some respect for the fact that they haven't quit.
Yeah, but like I said a few weeks ago, this isn't a quitting roster though. This isn't a whole bunch of guys that's gotten paid and they could just dial it in. Everybody, 95% of the guys on this roster, they're auditioning themselves. You were never going to get quit. And guess what? The number one person who doesn't have to audition is the one that's playing the worst. And the person who don't have to audition, he making some plays, but not for the extension sealer.
But this whole idea of like chemistry and all that, I'm not a big believer in that. What they're doing defensively that they weren't doing earlier in the season, number one, is they stopped missing tackles all over the place. And then number two is guys are actually doing their responsibility instead of shooting up the wrong gap and leaving a wide open space where they're supposed to be, which led to a lot of the run defense problems. And offensively, Achane got blocking in 2023. I'm sorry. He didn't rush for 203 yards against Denver by himself, as good as Devon Achane is. And this notion that the Dolphins are pounding opponents with the running game, I'm going to accept it to a certain degree because now they've regressed in the short yardage area where they actually were good early in the season. Now they've started sucking again. Like that early Ollie Gordon play where he got killed for making the lateral cut. Generally, it's a major no-no. Guess what? If he goes straight ahead, he's getting stuffed anyway.
Yeah, he tried to make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So let's get to these donations because we're running out of time. Shout out to everyone in here. 885, only 298 likes. Be sure to hit that like button. Be sure to hit the subscribe if you are new. We appreciate every single one of you. Mall Security with the fiver says, Dolphins once again playing down to their opponent, although this is a good sign in this case. Thanks for the streams. We appreciate you, Mall Security. Garp Gump with the $2 donation. 1990s Redux. JK.
Well, I'm missing that.
Because this fine gentleman has been on this kick the whole year. Early on when the season started, he thought, I have a feeling this team's going to look like the 1990 Dolphins, who after being 8-8 the previous year, wound up going 12-4, didn't win the division, but they made the playoffs, and they had that's their best record since like the mid-80s.
LaFerrin with the fiver says, what if it's not the O-line play affecting Tua, but what if it's Tua making them look bad, his pocket presence?
Happy.
Omar, that's all yours.
Bull crap. No.
I find that to be very interesting.
No. Y'all see Jonah 7-9. Y'all seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Not as often as we used to.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Fair. And guys, even Borum improved. You know, guys have improved. You know how I feel about the jumbo package. Brunskill, heavy package. I'm sorry. Brunskill is that sixth offensive lineman has been a godsend, and hopefully they continue to build on it.
You know, real quick, one thing I will say. On those big A-chain runs, you're getting superior tight end blocking with Julian Hill. But Julian Hill also mess up a lot of blocking. But on those big runs, the film shows you Julian's out there fighting. He's like, hey, I ain't backing down. And what I love, he's getting the different levels. One time he took on a defensive end in this game and shedded him off, and A-chain already got around, beat A-chain to the next level for the next block. That was the one that popped out to the side for the touchdown. Go look at it.
I will say this. Their only touchdown of the game off that run. If you go back and watch it again, we got lucky because Julian Hill had his arm up and behind the defender. He was holding him.
Was it the DN or the second one?
It was the first block, boom, he hit, I think it was 94, knocked him on his back, yeah. Went to the second one, and when you see the defender turns to go after, he had his arm. Like, literally, his arm was in the dead center of his back, and I was like, because I was watching the film, I was like, we got away with one. Holy moly.
And by the way, why was there so little made? I haven't heard anybody but little old me talk about it. That touchdown run. How bad did he make the Saints cornerback Alante Taylor look? You were on that too.
Yeah,
Effort was like, whoa, that was.
I was on Tron's show last night, and I because he's just, he was torn Saints Dolphins, yep. So I brought it up, and I was like, he made number one look dumb. I said he made number one look like Cam Newton in the Super Bowl where he just didn't want to get the football. Like, he just jumped back.
Yep.
And Tron was like, whoa. Technically, I was like, Tron, come on. I know you're a Saints guy, but he made number one look stupid as hell.
By the way, in this game versus the Saints, the extra O lineman, that play only worked one time. And Brunskill whiffed on that. It was the weirdest thing ever. He whiffed on the block, totally missed his guy. A-chain did some magic in the backfield. Brunskill came all the way back and sealed the same guy late. And A-chain ripped up the field. It was crazy. Like, he messed up, but he never gave up. And then he actually made the play.
LaFerrin with another fiver says, why when two scrambles now it looks like a toddler running with a dookie diaper?
Y'all crazy, man.
Get away with that?
Yeah, man. Garb with the dealer said, we are about to have the most expensive backup quarterback.
Nope.
Red Hood with the tenor says, Omar, do you think Tua is better than Jameis and Bryce? It's time to copy the Patriots formula and fire the coach and get a franchise quarterback and a franchise
quarterback, Omar. That's for emphasis.
Oh, I was like, why am I saying this way?
Okay, let's get a franchise quarterback. Who you want?
Whoever available.
Okay. I don't care anymore. is Tua better than Jameis or
Bryce Young?
Not really. I mean, yeah, he's still better than both of them.
Bryce Young?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bryce Young waking up.
Yeah.
He had a couple of big-time throws, fourth down
against the Rams, too.
He's like, I mean.
And I ain't a Bryce Young guy.
You know for a fact, Ram fans are like, national media, stop talking about us. LaFerrin, again, with a fiver. We appreciate you. But Dolphins' first move this offseason is to bring TD in. He needs to run the organization. We haven't had a brilliant mind like him in this organization.
I'm going to apply, okay?
Tell your mama get off the podcast, TD.
he dropped another fiver. He said, I respect everyone on this panel.
It's an honor.
It's been an honor to hear TD speak.
Yeah, your message came through.
His view of the game is light years ahead. This is a
Oh my God. It's not your mama, it's your wife. I understand.
Oh my God.
Hey, I ain't gonna let them hate on you. Salute to you. I appreciate the love. I ain't gonna let him hate on you.
That's funny. Francis, that was a love fest.
Holy moly.
Francis with the tour says, Mike McDaniel draft pick Achan is exposing Tua.
How?
I don't
get it. How.
He carrying the team.
Uh-oh, here's LaFerrin again. We got more love for you, T. Omar, we got to find a new made-up stat to help Tua. Master with the fiver says Miami should target Trey Lance. He was never given a fair chance to start. He's young, high upside, or F it. See what we have with Ewers. Let me know. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see Ewers this year. I thought we would at some point, but they're going to keep it competitive. And
not unless they're mathematics eliminated.
Yeah. LaFerrin again. Omar has made my goat TD speechless. Shame on you. That's gotta be someone.
What is it? It's TD's burner account.
He said that Omar made you speechless. He said Omar has made my goat TD speechless. Shame on you. Ian with the fiver says Drake May about to win MVP and Omar still gonna say he isn't sure on May yet, but he still believes to it factor.
Omar, are you there yet on Drake May?
Nope.
You watched the game last night?
No. Nope. I watched the Heat play.
The Giants.
The Miami Heat.
Doesn't matter. He made throws that somebody, some other quarterback.
And that's like saying, oh, he made great throws in OTAs. It's the Giants.
Oh, man.
Hey. I only saw highlights of the game and Jackson Dart, man.
What about the Giants?
I mean, that dude's just crazy.
What about the Giants kicker kicking the ground before the football?
You heard what he said, right?
What?
He saw the ball spinning to the side, and that's what he decided he wasn't going for it.
Oh, that's cap.
All right, let's go to the I watched
it like five times.
That ball did not move.
No, it did. When the first snap came in, the ball tilted to the side, and the holder got it back straight. And
hey, that's the most embarrassing thing a kicker can do. He got stuck on the ground. Now he's trying to save face. That's the most embarrassing
thing. Raindrop landed in my eye. No B with the fiver says, is making average pass rushers look like Pro Bowlers considered a superpower?
No, yeah. That's for me because you know how much I despise the term superpower. Thank you, Noel.
Ian with the fiver says, Tua is not a spot thrower. If he was, he wouldn't be complaining about needing to see over the line. You can't have it both ways.
He doesn't complain about seeing over the line. He says, I can't see over the line. I throw the spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to be a spot thrower. I just don't like that it's all predicated on that.
Fair. Panama Jack been a member for one.
As Sua says, if I can't see you, no, if you can't see me, I can't see you.
Yeah. But the ball coming.
Yeah, here it comes.
Yeah.
Don't forget we have to punt because he slid early.
That's not true. That was before the fourth and one. The one he slid was before the fourth and one.
Yeah, that was when we got stuffed.
Fourth and one, they didn't convert. Yeah.
Eric with the fire.
The point that he's making is
correct.
You can't have a quarterback that can't lower his shoulder and just go get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tua needs to learn how to dive forward. I've always said that.
Yep.
Not enough of this baseball slide. Yeah.
Isn't that what happened in Houston?
That's what happened in Buffalo.
You keep bringing up old stuff.
Against Buffalo. That's what happened against Buffalo.
Eric, let's move on. Eric with the fire says Omar's not getting that Christmas card in the mail from Tua this year.
Tomorrow is going to be very interesting.
Check that presser out. Glenn with the fire says, funny thing is Tua will have a great game against the Jets and the Tuaneers will say, see, Tua is great. It is the line or Tyreek not there. This is Tua. I would agree with that if it didn't, because then it would have happened against the Falcons and it didn't really happen against the Falcons. Like Tua had a great game against the Falcons. Everyone was just like, I still was like, there's still something wrong with this man. Glenn also says with the fiver, after his hip replacement, doctor said Tua will have a 5-7 NFL career. So what do you expect? I expect
an organization to be smart enough not to give him a second big contract that completely handcuffs you to him season longer than it has to. That's what we expect.
Anyone with a brain knew that. I was talking about the fact that I'm like, all right, they're going to give him a contract, regardless if we want him to or not. Be smart about it. And I kept bringing up Jalen Hurts' contract extension. I'm like, do something like this. And the Dolphins were like, shut the – we're going to give him all this money.
That's true. If you were going to mess up with Tua, you should have did it early.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lock yourself up for 3 years.
No. Whittaker with the €2 says, after the last 2 weeks, is W versus L still a quarterback stat? No, it never was a quarterback stat. Never was. Ian with the tour says, if we lose to the Jets, is that it for McDaniel? No.
Nope.
This was the game, the Saints game. If he lost this one, which... Very close to.
I think he's got to win five of the remaining.
Omar
Five games left.
Yeah. So now, but I'm saying heading into.
He's got to win another four.
He's got to go win four of the next five to finish 9-8.
Yeah. I think he's got to produce a winning record.
Yeah.
Now, Poupard will say differently, but.
I will say 8-9 may very, very well may bring.
But, big fat pimply butt. Say an enticing head coach becomes available. Does that change things?
Nope.
Puck with the fiver says, let's talk O-line. Boren playing better than Jackson. Paul finally got exposed. What is the latest on Daniel Peck's injury?
I wouldn't judge Jackson on his first game back.
Yeah.
When did Paul get exposed?
He had some bad reps, but I wouldn't say he got exposed.
Yeah, I lost one or two.
Yeah.
But
yeah. The latest on James Daniels is don't count on him for 2025.
Mark, thank you for becoming a member, bud. We really appreciate you. Trey with the tour says, I gotta fix it. I'm tired of yelling at my TV. We all are, bud. We all are. Glenn with the tenor says, TD, you did a Dan move. I text you earlier and you brought up Biggers and Phillips playing better and asked if we could trade Sealer next year with Grant, Biggers, and Jordan starting.
So you stole his thought. Is that what it is?
Actually, once I read that in the chat, I saw that he sent it to me. But we had the same thought, Glenn. But I'll give you credit if you want it. It's fine.
Yeah. The Foo family with the 20. We'll go around real quick with this one. Who would you rather have, year 6 Tannehill or year 6 Tua? PD.
Skylar Thompson.
Allen.
Well, year six, Tannehill was the year he spent the entire season on IR. So,
and it might still be better.
it might still be better.
Let's say 2026, Tannehill.
We had Matt Moore or somebody.
Tannehill.
Omar?
Is Omar frozen?
Tannehill, give him this. This is what Tannehill do to him.
It's like he's thinking Tannehill, but he just can't say it. So the screen froze.
I'd actually take Tannehill or Tua.
Yeah. I'm taking year six Tua. I'm hoping there's some sort of resurgence at the end of the season.
I like Tannehill's mobility and his arm strength. So yeah. I would take Tannehill. Another 20 from Kelly. We appreciate you. If we see how bad Tua is, we have to imagine the players do too. We speak about a new coach not wanting to work with him. How do we attract good players?
You pay them.
Yeah, but those days might be done, especially with a new GM.
Never. Mm. Those days will never be done.
What if they come in wanting to do this the same way they did it before they got off the train? Drafting, not
they always say they don't want to spend. That's not the way to build a team. And then Steve Ross says, that's my opportunity to get in the game.
Go get Ndamukong Suh. Yep. Mark with the fiver. Appreciate you, bud. Black Ops with the 20 says, hypothetically, with everything we've seen from Tua this season and past, if you're a GM, do we go for Sellers or Aller and have them sit for a year, or just focus on quarterbacks in 2027? If you guys on the panel are the GM and have the reins, I think Sellers is going back. I don't think Sellers is coming out. I would kick the tires on taking quarterback in the second round. I don't see anything wrong with that. But you need to see, like, that's the sticky, whatever, because you take that second round pick in 2026 and say we falter again and we have a top 10 pick. Are you just going to let that second round pick just sit back there and go take your first in 2027 with a better draft? It's like, it's a sticky subject. What do you guys think real quick?
I'll say draft a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah, if it's somebody who can become, yeah, I like that. I didn't have him sit for a year. Yeah, that works. I like that.
Master says, with the tour, says Miami should trade for Rattler. He looked good.
Okay. Listen, he was the number one quarterback in the nation at one point in high school.
Shadow Fates with the fiver says, Poop, your thoughts on Omar calling himself a Finn historian now?
I am.
I didn't hear that, but by all means, he can call himself whatever he'd like.
I've been a historian for 17 years, 18 years now. Poopard's 30. Come on. But what do you think? We write about the history of the Miami Dolphins. We that's what we do. We document it.
I wrote today about the 40th anniversary of the Monday night game against the Chicago Bears in 1985, when none of you youngsters were born yet.
I had two more years. Mark Gomez with the fiver.
I was born. I was seven.
What year?
I think it's 83.
Mark Gomez with the fiber says, looks like Tua has gained a lot of weight. His arms look small. Maybe that's contributing to his inconsistency.
No,
y'all talking about.
I've looked at that. Nope, not accurate.
The sexy kid with the tenor says, could Ewers take over next year? He was supposed to be a first early second round pick. Why not coach him up and see what he can do?
I know. Who told you he was supposed to be a first or second round pick? Never. And I like Ewers, but he's not anywhere close to him.
Bishop Don with the tour says, pop quiz, name all the members of the 2016 Unicorns.
Very easy.
Yeah. With Tunsil, that's when Tunsil was left guard, right? So it was Brandon Albert, Tunsil, Pouncey,
Jermon Bushrod,
and then Juwan James. Devin with a fiver says, what do you think of Anthony Richardson as a reclamation project behind Tua next year?
Man, can we get the projects out of our mouths? Like, fall in love with somebody and go after them. And if not, wait. Like,
I like this name. Eddie Betty Spaghetti. The tour. Says Omar the OG Hawk Tua in here. No, he's not. Tuanon is the OG. Omar's not. Omar's not even a Tuanir. People, TD, can you do me a favor, TD? I'm gonna bring this down so I can see your face. You were the one who essentially patented Tuanir. Can you explain insanity?
But yeah,
can you explain to the people in the chat what a Tuanir is?
Yes, Tuanir is someone that if Tua got cut today, which ain't possible, but if he did, you're no longer riding with the Dolphins. You're riding with wherever he goes. So it's the difference between people aren't talking to you if you're a Dolphin fan and you support Tua. Mm-hmm. That don't make you a Tuanir, okay? That's putting the player above the team. Wherever he go, you know the people that be like, oh, I hope he goes somewhere and stick it to y'all. Yeah, y'all Tuanir. You're not Dolphin fans, all right? So that's part of the problem with the little civil war in the community. Real fans thought just because they supported Tua that people like me would call them a Tuanir as a derogatory. They're not Tuanirs, okay? Mm.
There you go. So quit it. Grow Together with the Tenor says, should I scream this one? Ewers could be better than Tua. We don't know because they don't play the kid. It's BS. How could we see what we have if they don't look at, take a look? They aren't making playoffs, and Tua has regressed.
They're married. They are married. Yep. And until the divorce is finalized, they will remain married.
Yep.
And faithful.
Devin with the fiver says, do you think Dolphins should trade, should double Jamar Chase with Jack Jones and safety over the top when they play the Bengals? Yeah. That's going to be a hard one. And you got Gesicki coming back, too.
There you go. That's the one that worries me, Mike Gesicki.
We have a hard time. And is this his first revenge game against us?
Probably played with New England.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, he did. And then the fish out of water with the tenor says, question for the future. If there are an Earth in 2027, why wouldn't there be Earth in 2 years? Like, holy moly. Where we have a physical presence at quarterback with Mike Shula running a Cam Newton-style offense and Chris Shula as the head coach, or am I not allowed to dream? Man, you dream. Dream your little dream. That ain't happening. That's too many Shulas under one Shula, if you get what I'm trying to say. And then growing together with the tour, then Tua will continue to hold this team back.
By the way, having said that, because I'm going to guess Grow Together, this is an offshoot of my answer about the Dolphins being married to Tua. This is not suggesting for a millisecond that Quinn Ewers is better than Tua, because if he clearly was, I don't think the Dolphins would cut off their nose to spite their face, and he'd be in there.
That has been a Miami Dolphins problem all the way back to 2012. They never brought in competition for Ryan Tannehill. They never gave Matt Moore a shot over Ryan Tannehill. And with that, did Kenny ever really get competition? Or
yeah, he got Pat White.
Oh no,
they still elected Pat White the year after they selected.
They did, but as a package quarterback, it wasn't to challenge Chad.
I'm just saying they drafted a quarterback. They drafted three quarterbacks in three straight years in the second round: Beck, Kenny, White.
And before that, they traded a second-round pick for Culpepper. They traded a second-round pick for A.J. Feely. They went five straight draft where they invested a second-round pick on a quarterback.
Interesting. And then finally, Puck Till Ya Buck with the fiver says, Omar, good story you wrote on the Minka game-saving interception. Worth the read.
I want to interject this very, very cool note regarding that play. You guys know that this was the second time the Dolphins had a two-point defensive conversion. Mm. Second time in their history. The first time was Walt Akins in 2016 against Arizona. And this is a part that absolutely blew my mind when I checked it out. Do you know the name of the long snapper for Arizona that day? Aaron Brewer. Do you know the player who blocked the field goal, the extra point attempt that Akins returned for 2 points?
Who?
Omar, your buddy Jordan Phillips. How's that?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and then we're going to get out of here. You know, it blew me away that that strip sack that Minka Fitzpatrick had was his first career sack.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't blitz him more in Pittsburgh. It blew me away. But go check out Omar Kelly and that Minka Fitzpatrick article on the Miami Herald. You also can check out Alan Poupart and all of his fantastic in-depth articles over there on the Miami Dolphins on SI. TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, also part of the AFC East Roundtable. If you didn't know, they are putting together a nice little get together for the MetLife Takeover. You can go to where? The AFC Roundtable website.
SeatGeek, baby.
There you go. Go check it out. And you can check me out, youtube.com/.
If it's not too cold, I'll be there at the MetLife Takeover. Y'all save me a plate.
It's going to be cold. I'm telling you right now, it's raining and 30 degrees right outside my window. Bundle up, buttercup. We will see you guys Friday at 6. Other than that, stay safe out there, everybody.